Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here one more time on Blog Talk Radio with Truth Ministry. So we're grateful. As of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So definitely good to be here. So we thank God. Here we are in the 11th month of the year, the month of November, and we're still going on in the name of the Lord. So we thank God for all of our Facebook friends and followers that are tuning in. Should you be tuning in from Facebook, we thank God for you. Also, our Twitter followers and listeners, our Blog Talk friends and followers, and also our LinkedIn connections, followers, and listeners. Thank God for you tuning in to Truth Ministry with Elder Michael Eric Cannon. And so we say welcome to you. So we thank God that we are able to, as the brother of Jesus, James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, we're able to look into the perfect law of liberty. And that is none other than the Word of God. So we are glad to be here, and what a day that we are living in. We know that we're in the last days, and there's so much violence in the land, and you hear of one thing, and you're not done with that, then another thing. Then on top of that, you got all kinds of voices in the world. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying when he wrote to the church at Corinth, the Corinthian church. So, but also, I would just like to use food for thought before we go into our lesson on this evening out of 1 John, the third chapter. And John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." So also, I'd like to pause right there. I'd like to give our call-in number. Should you have a question or a comment that you would like to share, you are welcome. And our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So, yes, so we So he says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So we know John talks about false prophets. Peter talks about false teachers. So all these things are going on in the world. That is hard for people to decipher the difference between what is true and what is false. So you got people, even Apostle Paul dealt with a lot of things in the Corinthian church, and he also had to deal with false apostles. He called them false. You know, he said, no marvel Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It's no marvel that his ministers, be transformed into angels of light, whose end shall be according to their works. So he called the false apostles the ministers of the devil. So, and so that's a subject that we've talked about in times past, that there are no apostles nowadays. No people call themselves, men and women, calling themselves apostles. You read in the book of Revelation, Jesus talks in the first three chapters, and fourth chapter, the church is in heaven, said immediately, you know, there was a door open in heaven in the fourth chapter. That's the chapter of the book of the Revelation. That is the rapture of the church. Everything else after that time, John, is looking back on the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth after that particular time. So the job of an apostle, they were eyewitnesses initially. They walked with the Lord. The last one to see, and that was one of the signs of the apostles, you had to see the Lord. Apostle Paul gives his pedigree in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians about that. He says, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. How he labored more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles, what he was saying. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So they had to be an eyewitness. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they died horrible deaths. So there are no apostles nowadays. So that people get mad when you say that. But you got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And this Bible, this book is the truth when it is rightly divided. So God never created a bunch of denominations, and we believe this and we believe that, but no. He chose Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter. He said, thou art Peter, which, you know, he called him Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. And he said, upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee, talking to Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he initially had the keys to the kingdom of God, or to the church. And he had the binding and loosing power, is my point I want to make initially. Now the church also has binding and loosing power. He had to open up the church on the day of Pentecost. He had to open up the church down in Samaria in the 8th chapter of Acts. He had to open up the church to the Gentiles in the 10th chapter of Acts. So you're gonna hear God, you gotta hear the apostles. Ephesians 2:20, that's what we're built upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he told them, does it behoove Christ to rise from the dead the third day? In the 24th chapter of Luke, and their repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, I send unto you the promise of my Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, blessed them, stepped on a cloud, and was received out of their sight. Angel said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up shall also come in like manner. So when he comes back and steps on the Mount of Olives and is going to crack in half, that's the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. That's the second coming. But the appearing of the Lord to take the church out of the earth is what we call the rapture of the church. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, all simultaneously. Dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we go on here, John, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That was the problem with the Jews. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. That woman at the well, in the fourth chapter of St. John, she said, when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, he will tell us all things. What did Jesus say to her? I that speaketh unto thee am he. So he told that woman at the well, when she said, you know, he was saying that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. She said, sir, give me this water. And he said two things that are very important that he said in his conversation to that woman in Samaria at the well. And that is, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, number one, and who it is that talketh to thee, thou would have asked of him living water. So he let her know, he told her to go and call your husband. And so anyway, the lady said, I have no husband. So he said, thou hast had five husbands. He that you have now is not your husband. So that's why she went and preached to the men, told the men of the city, come see a man that told me all ever I did. Is this not indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world? So that is the message, not for us to promote ourselves, but to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Notice what it said. Notice my subtopic is the Godhead. It doesn't say God has come in the flesh. It says every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And you notice when I read my intro, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to say he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that's why John said, now are we the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Who? The Father. Because he talked about what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. In the third chapter of 1 John. So he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So he is the central theme or subject of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the great high priest. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He's the resurrection and the life. He is the one which is, which was, and which is to come. He is the first begotten of the dead, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's made us kings and priests unto God. So he says, he goes on here, in 1 John 4 and 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And think about this way back when John wrote, about 320 A.D., that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He's talking about, what are you talking about? The spirit of Antichrist. So he goes on here, you are of God. Ye are of God. little children and have overcome them. Overcome who? What he is talking about, Antichrist, many of them. So he says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So who is? What is he talking about? The Holy Ghost is in the children of God. So he says, therefore, said they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. We are of God. Who is he talking about? This is the Apostle John writing, and we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there is a spirit of error. So then he goes on here to say, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. This was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, people don't understand. The Son of God is the body. The Son of God is the flesh. Excuse me. The Son of God came from the woman. In Luke 1 and 35, he says, Mary was saying, how shall these things be, seeing I know not of a man, or I haven't had relations with a man? So writer says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the Son of God came from the woman. So that is so very important. So this is why, even we were talking on last week, we mentioned out of the 40th Psalm and out of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he came in the volume of the book. He says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. All those sacrifices and all that they had to offer once a year, the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, and not without blood, which he had to offer for himself and then for the sins of the people. So this Christ did once when he offered himself once in the end of the world. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So this is what we have been talking about. We've been in the book of Hebrews for a number of weeks now. And so today we are doing just that. We are continuing in the book Hebrews. And so last week we finished up the 10th chapter of Hebrews. So we had, I'll go up a little bit. Verse 35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And he goes on, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Because this is going to tie into our lesson on the day. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So this brings us right into our lesson, what we want to get into on today. And we're talking about faith, substance, hope, evidence, and the word of the Lord. So before we get into this lesson, we can read, and we're going to go back and let you know where this all started at. So he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. So he goes on, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. But anyway, we want to go back in a couple places in the book of Romans. This church that Apostle Paul had, he didn't start this church, but he started the church in Corinth. And so we go back to the book of Romans, And he had heard about their faith, and you're going to see where I'm going with this. So he went, purposed to go to Rome to impart unto them some spiritual gift. So it's amazing how beginning of this came about. So he's saying, I thank my God Christ, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel and of his son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers, making requests that by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He's talking about the church at Rome. So he goes on to say, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, he was hindered. But that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And he goes on, I'm debtor both to the Jews, I'm both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Then he goes on, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Notice what I'm saying, what the word, what the Bible said. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're going to go on back to that, where that derived from. Habakkuk, the second chapter. Stand upon my watch and set me up, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. This is Habakkuk. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, run while you're reading the vision. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, what is he talking about? The vision. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So this is where that quote came from. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's amazing. So this is why Jesus said, when he rose from the dead and he was on the earth 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God before he stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven, he was saying all things which were written in the Psalms and in the prophets, and in the all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, all things had to be fulfilled concerning him. So this is where we pick this up. And so we know even Abraham believed God. Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. So we go there too, on our way back to the book of Hebrews. We're going to pick this up in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And I'm trying to move right along here because we're talking about faith here. So Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only? That's the Jews. And or upon the uncircumcision also? Is a question. Uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? A question. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, the writer Paul says here. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is back in the book of Genesis. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. In other words, he makes the dead alive. Remember they were saying about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They were asking a question to Jesus. He was saying he's not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. So even those that are asleep in him or dead in Christ, as we would say. So he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he was that which he had promised, he was able to perform. Talking about God, when he visited him in the 18th chapter of Genesis and says, I'm going to come again, and Sarah shall have a son. Those three men that came and visited Abraham and Sarah laughed, but Abraham had laughed before then, fell on his face and laughed. Those three men, one of those men was the Lord. And those other two men went about to see about the business of Sodom and Gomorrah before they destroyed it. Abraham drew near, he interceded and said, will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, there'll be 50 and on down to 10. So in other words, right after that happened is when he had the conversation about the promised seed, who is Isaac. So he said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Not to him, now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also who it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now that body is the flesh. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we go on here. We notice what we're talking about is faith. Abraham was the father of faith, and this is what we're talking about. So in the book of Romans, these people that the Apostle Paul, remember he had heard of their faith, these people are already saved. So you just can't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you're saved. He's talking to people that were already saved. So he makes a plea here in the first chapter of the 10th first verse of the 10th chapter, and he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." What is he talking about? The nation of Israel. Now, there were some out of every tribe who were there on the day of Pentecost. But he's talking about the nation of Israel. They were blinded because they did not accept the Lord as the Messiah. Their heart was blinded. So he said they're being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, because they were ignorant of God's righteousness, is what he is saying here. So they're going about to establish their own righteousness. So he goes on here to say, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, because they're going about to establish their own righteousness. So he goes on here. He makes a very important part. Now, Jesus is the Christ. That is not his last name, but he is the Christ. This is what Jesus had told Peter, that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. This is in the 16th chapter of Matthew, after he gave him the keys to the kingdom of God. So he goes on here, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth these things shall live by them. See, this is in the book of Deuteronomy. So he says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Bring who down? Christ. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Who? Christ. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the quote out of the book of Deuteronomy. He was talking about the law and doing the law. And the law wasn't far from you, but it was in your mouth. So he's talking about the word of faith here in the 10th chapter of Romans. So he says, that is, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For who the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Question. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Question. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Question. So he goes on here, how beautiful it is. As it is written, this is in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? This is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So here's the key right here. Because you got to hear, remember Jesus said, he that believeth, he's talking about the gospel, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So if you read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, every time somebody believed the gospel, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. That is the promise. Joel 2:28, pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So when they, on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spake in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to utter. That is the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's only one Spirit. So here's the key right here in this book of Romans, what I want to key in on before I go on to the book of Hebrews. So he goes on here, verse 17. So then, Because remember, we're talking about faith all the way back from Abraham. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how you're going to get faith, is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to understand these letters that the apostle wrote to the churches, especially, because I've made mention on this on last week out of the book of Romans and the Corinthian church. He called them, God called them to be saints. How we're saying that's ridiculous. That Catholic church, how they try to talk about people being eligible for sainthood, that's totally absurd. You better know that you are a saint of God now. That's what he called us to be, is saints of God. So Bible talks about children of God, talks about sons of God, talks about sons and daughters in the book of Corinthians. You better know you're a child of God now. So you call it whatever you want. He called them to be saints. So he says the saints at Rome, the saints that are at Corinth, at Philippi, the Ephesian saints, I mean, the Colossian or Colossae saints there. So that people try to act like that's, you know, I'm no saint. Well, you should want to be. You shouldn't want to be a child of the devil. You should want to be a child of God. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. You better know you're living right now. Not you die and you hope that some fleshly man say, you're eligible for sainthood. I mean, who gave him the right to do that? That's ridiculous. No, the Lord called people to be saints. So it's the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So 1 Timothy 2 and 4, I believe, it says, the will of God, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So John goes on. I mean, Timothy, Paul, when he writes to his son Timothy, he says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he wants everyone to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish in the book of Peter, but that all should come to repentance. But we know everybody is not going to be saved. So like I've said on occasion, Jesus says no man can serve two masters. He'll hate one, cleave to the other. He'll hold to one and despise the other. And he says you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And people have made money their God. But in the book of the Revelation, he is going to make them cry out. He's going to judge them. He's going to judge everyone. And so some people are still not going to repent. So because of their sorceries and they're worshiping money, God's going to bring down the ports. That's why they're going to, and I mean, how ridiculous is this statement? They're going to say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, how stupid is that when you really think about it? You're going to say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us? In the first place, you can't hide from the presence of God. But you're going to say to a rock, fall on me and hide me? I mean, that's ridiculous. What a statement. That's what they are going to do. So we're going on here. We're talking about faith. And so you want to have faith, you got to believe God's word. And so that's how faith comes. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, that's what Jesus says. Have faith in God. When they said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it should obey you. But people say, they talk about small faith and little faith and all that. Faith is faith. Yes, he chastised them and said they had little faith. He is the master. He can do that. He said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed. So the whole key in that statement is that much faith and no doubt. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that much faith and no doubt. What happened to Israel? The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's back in the first, second, or third chapter of the book of Hebrews. So that's what happened to them. They did not mix the word with faith. So we had already started off. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So remember now in 2 Corinthians, let's see, I'll go there. Anyway, Apostle Paul makes a quote in 2 Corinthians, and he says, "For we walk by faith and not by," so that is very important, so you can't see, so we have a hope and we have a promise. And he says in the book of Romans, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And he goes on, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So anyway, he's talking about our earthly house, of this tabernacle where these are. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. He's talking about the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, our new body, if you've been born again, like what I've said. So he goes on, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That's when you're born again. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gives utterance. So it goes on here, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I mean, that's a talk. You got to understand biblical language, because if you're dead in Christ or you're alive in Christ, the whole key is you got to be in Christ. So when you're baptized into Christ, you're buried with him by baptism in the 6th chapter of Romans. So you got to be in Christ whether you're dead or alive. The key is in Christ. So he goes on here, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk on. Everything that God is doing, we can't see. But if you heard, if God makes a promise, it's like he promised to Abraham in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. It says when he made a promise to immutable things, the Hebrew writer says it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. So he goes on to say, he says it was impossible for God to lie. He says that when he swore by no greater, he swear by himself. That means he swore alone. So we can say, I will pay you back, or I will give you $500 when I get paid. If God says, I'm going to give you $1 million, you can bank on it. He's not saying, I'm waiting on somebody to get paid. If God makes a promise, he can't lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. So this is what the Hebrew writer was saying. So we go on here in the book of the Hebrews here, because we're still talking about faith. So these things that we're talking about, he goes back into Testament. So he goes on here, he's talking about, we understand through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God did this. He framed the words, the world, by his words. So in the beginning, God, like I've said, if you listen, it's a divine testimony. He made his known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. To make known is to reveal, or revelation, to make known. So he made known to Moses that in the beginning God. So this is why in the 91st Psalms he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And he goes on to say, this is a psalm of Moses. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he always was. So that's what man want to do, is to try to get the origin of something and they can figure it out. You can't reach back and get God. He always was here. He made the beginning. He created time so we can get ourselves together to go back into eternity with him. So he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Remember, his blood was crying from the earth. God asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he was saying, am I my brother's keeper? God said of Abel, his blood is crying unto me. He had slain his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. You can read that in 1 John where I was earlier on this evening. So we got to keep moving. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. One day he went for a walk. Nobody never saw him again. Actually, Enoch is a translation. He is he is like the church is going to be translated. Church is going to be taken away. One day, won't be long, we are going to be somewhere and just all of a sudden gone. Whether we be driving, whether we be flying, whether we be at home, whether we be in the bed, whether we be on our jobs, he is like the church. Enoch is. He was translated that he should not see death. That's why he said, Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning about verse 13, when he was saying, if we believe that Jesus died, even them which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. So he says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Or those he's talking about are dead in Christ. So he goes on and says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He says, so he goes on, for the Lord himself. So he's not going to send Michael or Gabriel, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is, here's the word. Enoch is a type of the church, of the New Testament church, is what he is. Because the dead in Christ, that's why I said it doesn't matter. You got to be in Christ whether you're dead or alive. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So he says, even them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It's there, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. You can read it. So you sleep, you're dead in Christ, you're asleep. God, just what he did, another thing that he did is when he went to wake Lazarus up from his sleep. That's why they were saying, if he be asleep, he doeth well. He said to them, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad I was not there for your sake. So he prayed. So he had cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, bound with the grave clothes and a napkin about his face. Jesus said unto them that were standing, he came forth, hopping. And those that were standing by, he told them to loose him and let him go. So in other words, he was in grave clothes. He got up because the Lord, the resurrection, called him forth. So it said, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot. So he is the resurrection and the life. So he's going to do just what he did before, somebody said, when he makes the shout, the voice of the archangel, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said, there's going to be a lot of us getting up, those that are dead in Christ. So somebody said, if he had not called Lazarus by his name, everybody would have got up from the grave. So I don't know how true that is, but it sure could be, because he did call him by his name. That's what he's going to do again, call everyone by their name. So Enoch, we know in Hebrews 9 and 27, is once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. So God cannot break his law. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Didn't say he didn't die. He didn't see it. So we go on here. By faith, Enoch was translated. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It goes on here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, mind you, during that time it had never rained. There came up a mist out of the earth and watered the whole earth. It had never rained. They thought Noah was out of his mind when he built that ark. So, we go on here, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out knowing where he went. By faith, still talking about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, plural, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That was what we were reading about in the fourth chapter of Romans, going way back in the book of Genesis when he had made that promise, you're going to have a son. And that was the promise, the seed of promise. His name was Isaac. So, therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. In other words, you can't count them. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Not having received the promises, plural, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek such a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for he hath prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, was when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Remember, he was a son of promise. If God had killed him, he was going to have to raise him from the dead. But of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, when he was a dying, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both his sons, the sons of Joseph, and worship leaning upon his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. This is in the last chapter, I think the 50th chapter of Genesis, when he was saying, surely God will visit you. This is what Joseph said to them, and he says, carry my bones from hence. In other words, the living cannot go without the dead, and the dead without the living. The same scenario, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's the same God is doing the same thing. The dead can't leave without the living. The living can't leave without the dead. Joseph is a type of the dead in Christ. So he says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refusing to suffer affliction with the people of God, then enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, who Moses, yes, even greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we're going to stop it right there, and we'll pick up on next time. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.